Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, welcome to the Draft Doctors talking all things fantasy draft. I'm Doss, and on the show this week, we will be discussing the ADPs that are standing out to us on the mock draft simulator on the Draft Doctors website to assess which picks we believe will provide positive or negative value based on where people are drafting them. And to help dissect this, we've got Stevie Fizz. G'day, Steve.
How you doing, everyone? G'day to the listeners out there. Feeling pretty good. Another beautiful weekend up in the Rat. So feeling pretty pumped here.
Man, are you about to hit some extreme heat over there like we are in Adelaide?
No, we probably don't quite get it. I've looked at the week and it's sort of everything's like 33. So it's not like, you know, the crazy Adelaide where it's scorched earth.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. All right, we've also got Jono on board today. G'day, Jono.
G'day, listeners. G'day, Doss. I'm just enjoying a brew from your native South Australia in the old Pirate Life Lagers, actually, so going down a treat on this warm Sunday afternoon.
Very nice, very nice. And Jono had a very good weekend watching a bit of AFLX, but we'll get to that shortly. And Cam is also here. Hello, Cam.
G'day, Doss, and g'day, listeners. Just on the beer, I reckon we maybe get a sponsor. Would be pretty nice. Maybe we have beer of the week and see if we can get that sponsored, because I'd love some free beer.
You and me both, buddy. You and me both.
Let's get that cranking. All right, so we're going to go through, before we get into our ADP evaluation, we're going to talk a little bit about Jono's favourite sport, the AFLX. And was there anything anyone noticed from the sport? I think Jono wants to start talking about it because he loved it so much.
Yeah, it's a complete fucking waste of time to begin with, so just move on. Why don't they just have another week of the JLT series? What an absolute crock of shit. 4 hours or whatever it was. I didn't actually watch it all. I caught the replay. I had friends over, but no contact, a square field. You got Callan Ward taking kick-ins, for Christ's sake. You got no perspective in terms of fantasy whatsoever, so get stuffed. But I did notice a lot of those midfielders looking pretty lean, actually, including Callan Ward himself and Tommy Rockliffe. They look like they've slimmed their body down for more endurance running this year, maybe to do with the 666 rules.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, Tommy Rockliffe didn't look great. Yeah. I thought, like, you're right in that he looked slim, but he looked all over the show, I kind of thought. And then
all
maybe
over
it's
the
just
show.
The format, right?
The whole fucking all game was show. All over the show.
All over the show? Is that right in your wheelbag, mate?
It's definitely all over the shop, isn't it? Ah, man. Anyway, and also Lockie Hunter, I thought looked really, really good.
It's a 20-metre field. Everyone looked good.
Yeah, but he looked bigger as a result. He's a small guy, and all of a sudden he looks huge because the field's tiny. Brilliant.
What the hell is a rock climbing wall doing there as well? That's bullshit.
So did you guys actually watch most of it then, if you're judging it so harshly? I'm guessing I got to catch probably, I'm going to say, I'll be honest, say 65-70% of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I might catch up on it a bit later though, rewatch it. Do you guys actually catch much of the game or what?
I watched like 3 games, but I was skimming, so.
I think the first game was actually really fun because it was sort of, you know, torps and all sorts of fun stuff. And then it got a little bit too strategic after there and it really got quite boring.
Yeah,
I watched none. The reason... Suck my dick, AFLX.
I think the reason I liked it actually a bit more last year, not due to the spectacle, because obviously we had better players this year, but I kind of like looking at the players that aren't going to get a game during the year. I remember last year I was all hyped about Hamish Brayshaw from West Coast and how he was tracking. So I just found it a bit different looking at the stars because it reminded me a lot more of like an NBA All-Star game where nobody's really trying to hurt each other. It's just trying to sort of do, you know, just get out there, get a few kicks in. Whereas last year, I think there was a bit of feeling about it. People wanted to show what they could do to get a game, but obviously that's not going to draw the crowd, so they changed it. But I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed watching it last year, and the only sort of star out there was Lockie Whitfield, and he was absolutely dominating last year. But I kind of noticed a couple of things. I mean, Jack Martin, who's going pretty late in drafts, did really well for the team. And same with Nathan Wilson was looking pretty cool. But, I mean, there's probably not a heap you can take out of it. But also, Bradley Hill, all on the same team there, but Bradley Hill, healthy and firing, is pretty interesting for a later draft pickup. But yeah, I didn't take too much out of it myself, but I was trying to figure out, I've got something for you guys. I've made a new power rankings. Power rankings is my thing, of course. And I have the trying too hard in AFLX power rankings. And we've got at number one, Andrew Gaff. And that's about all. That's the list. It's just Andrew Gaff.
Well, I did see in one of the games, he was actually tagging one of the game-changing Gatorade guys or something. Like, what's the bloody point? Like, seriously. But Gaffy, yeah, he just needs miles in the legs before he comes back in round three, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I can understand why he was doing it. I just thought it was a bit over the top there, Gaff. All right, so I've brought in something a little bit different before, again, we get into the ADPs. It's the hashtag hype of the week. So each week before the season starts, we'll be doing our hype of the week. This week's nomination, I'm so happy about this too. I got tagged in a bunch of it from a bunch of people. Bailey Williams. Now, I want to read you guys a couple of the quotes here from an article that got released. This is the quote. This whole preseason, I've spent 100% of my time in the midfield, learning off blokes like Wall, Bont, Dunks, and Libba, Williams said. Now, this is the second bit of the quote. I feel like I can really have an impact this year and start to dominate a few games, which would be good. I agree, Bailey, it would be good. And he is firmly locked in at that 10th overall defender ranking for me. He's still there, boys. What do we think about that one? Hype of the week.
Doss, is it actually going to be hype of the week, or is it going to be the bit each week where Doss talks about Bailey fucking Williams?
We'll talk. We'll see what the next article that comes out is. But I'm pretty hyped about that, boys. And you got to admit, the ranking's gone way up, isn't it, boys?
Small brag here, boys. I remember at one of the tail end shows last year, I said Bailey Williams for a midfield move next year, and I was completely slammed for it. But, well, I guess he's moving into that midfield.
Jeez, he named a few guys he has to get past, though. That's kind of concerning, isn't it?
Well.
And don't forget McRae and Hunter and the rest of the team.
Kind of good midfield there.
He'll be fine. Hype of the week. All right, let's get into the ADPs. We're going to discuss the draft positions that we think maybe are being, you know, could provide you value or maybe going a bit too early. And we're going to just go through each of us. We've each got three to look at from the Mock Draft website. So check it out. This episode is brought to you by the Mock Draft website, mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Get on there and start mocking today. So, Cam, do you want to start with your first ADP you've got there? Is this one an early negative value or some late positive value for you?
So this one is late positive value. I think he's probably undervalued a little bit by the drafting community, and that's Adam Chera from Fremantle. So he'll be playing midfield exclusively this year, and he was decent in his first year of the comp. A lot of attention going into Andrew Brayshaw in the preseason, that he's going to be taking up a lot of Lockie Neal's time now that he's departed. But now that Blakely's gone as well for the first seven rounds, it actually gives Adam Chera a pretty good opportunity to step into the midfield as a full-time midfielder. And a lot of people maybe aren't considering Chera's trajectory, because it's actually quite similar to Brayshaw's in regards to he was a very high draft pick at pick 5. He's entering his second season, but he also has the benefit of DPP this year, so he can be drafted as a forward. I actually think he's 30 places over undervalued. Right, so that sort of 30 position swing, if I think Chera can probably get about 80 to 82 average for the year. And that puts him in a pretty much same field as Caleb Daniel at 160. A bit of a quote that I found. Chera was all class in traffic and looked stronger after his second preseason, showing he's ready to step up in an engine room weakened by injuries. Like, all of this to me says that, you know, if you're getting Adam Chera at 191, that's probably close to your forward six, a forward five rather, or a bench spot. And I reckon that's an absolute bargain.
Yeah, I did the Fremantle article on the Draft Doctors website. And I mean, when you justified it there, initially I was a bit like, oh, I don't know if he's going to provide heaps of value. I do agree with the fact that there's probably a lot more hype about Andrew Brayshaw, and that's why I sort of took the angle on that article talking about Adam Chera, because by a lot of accounts, he's actually probably the, like, as you said, the classier sort of player, and the one that they want in there, and they want to give they want to give both of them time, but they're definitely going to be giving him a heap of time in there. And with the forward edge eligibility this year, I really do think he'll be playing a lot of midfield. And what do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I like Chera. I think it's a good pick. I think he'll probably split his time between halfback and midfield, probably a bit more than Cam does. But no, I like him in the forward status. Yeah, he's a good pick. He doesn't have to do as much as a midfielder with it. So I like him, and he turned up in his first year. The only question is, what are we expecting from a second-year player? So that's probably going to be my only query. But I've got no qualms drafting him as an F5 bench player, especially in the Dream Team format. Probably wouldn't pick him in the Supercoach formats. Not that he's not classy or anything like that. There's just, the position runs deeper in Supercoach.
All right. And Jono, do you want to start us off with your first ADP evaluation?
Yeah, so I'm coming from a Supercoach perspective from all my picks here, and I'm kicking it off with Basher Hooley. This was a guy who went as a former D1 in Supercoach draft, averaging around the 90 mark throughout his career. The last couple of years sort of tapered through injury and belting blokes, and in 2018, his average dropped to 76, so that's almost undraftable if you're looking at getting Basher Hooley. But this is a guy who put it on the field. He's had massive ceilings of scores of 120 plus, even 130s. They've got a great backline there, Richmond. I think the new rules are going to help players like Hooley and Short and these running defenders out of the Richmond backline. He's currently sitting at 139 in the ADP, so that's middle to later your draft for someone who potentially a D1. That's some quality value right there. And just some of the other blokes drafting around that sort of time with Hooley, you've got Nick Newman, who's probably not really super coach relevant. Michael Hibbard, who I don't want a part of. And also, you've got some value picks there in Nathan Williams, Wilson, and Dylan Roberton. So if you can get Roberton and Wilson, as well as Hooley, there in your draft at the back end to middle of your draft, you're going to be in a pretty good position come your draft day.
Yeah, I love it, Jono.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only problem, he hasn't played over 18 games in his last 3 years, and he's at 30 years old, but massive, yeah, pretty big value should he come out. Unfortunately, I'm going to go straight into my undervalued one here, because mine sort of works off yours, though, in a way, and maybe could be detrimental if yours actually pays off, regardless of AFL Fantasy or Supercoach here. But I've got Jaden Short as my undervalued player here. He's got a 93 ADP. So I have him, I know that I had him a lot higher than Cam and Statesman during our fantasy defender rankings, but I've still got him really high, and he's going off as the 22nd best defender in drafts. He's a kickout merchant, so he took all of them last year, heaps of them last year. It was over 50% of Richmond's kickout. I know what I'm saying with Jono. I think a lot of the, so if Basher comes back and takes him, but I think a lot of the time it will be just whoever's closest. So it's going to be like either Basher or Short. So it shouldn't affect him too much. I think he'll just get a heap of extra ball from the kickouts. He's 23 years old. They want the ball in his hands, and his kick-to-handle ratio of 15 kicks to 5 handballs last year, he just ticks all the boxes for me as a defender. And like I said, I think last time I checked, so I haven't updated my defenders in a while, but he was number 11 on my fantasy rankings, which is probably stretching a little bit, but I'm going to stick by it. He's my undervalued pick at his 93 ADP for AFL Fantasy. Anyone want to talk about that, or are we going to go straight to Steve?
No, Jaden Short's a really good pick, especially in the 90s there. We haven't really seen, well, the JLT starts this week, so we're not sure if there's going to be a lot of that 1-2 combo out of defence. I know you've got the extra 10 metres to run from the kick-in, but they were looking to get his ball as well. He'd push up the ground to the forward 50, and he'd launch it from 55, 60 metres out and was able to kick goals as well. So if you've got a goal-kicking defender as well, that's value every day of the week.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a huge year. Steve, did you want to give us your first ADP evaluation?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I want to talk about someone who I think is overvalued, and it's actually one of my boys, and that's Zach Williams. I think he's going at 50 in Supercoach, which I think is fine. But in Dream Team, he's actually, his ADP on the mock side is 49. And to me, that's really expensive price to pay for a guy whose best average is 83 in Dream Team format. Like, he's not a Dream Team superstar, or hasn't been yet. Okay, so he's the 10th defender off the board. Hasn't averaged over the 83. He's missed a year. I know he played a couple of finals, played pretty well. Likely won't be taking the kick-ins for GWS. Has been shifted in his career from a defence wing forward. He's had multiple roles, especially in his 2017 season. He won't be getting centre square minutes. And I find it really hard to get behind that draft position. Yes, he'll have his good games, but he really... Like, he doesn't win a heap of contested balls, so he's relying on getting the ball running into space. It's actually kind of where we've got him ranked. It's just, to me, it's about a round or two early. Like, I've got him at D12, and he's going as the 10th defender off the board. But to me, to get someone in the fifth round, like, I'd much rather be getting a midfielder there and getting... someone else a bit later. Like, there's guys who I'm pretty interested in, like Luke Ryan's going 10 picks later, Jimmy Webster and Short, who we just spoke about, they're going 30 and 40 picks later. Callum Mills is going 50 picks later. You know what I mean? Like, it just, to me, it feels like a high price to play for a guy who probably won't average over 90.
Yeah, it could be due to a bit of the salary cap hype as well. He's got that low price tag in salary cap, and he obviously, when he played in the finals last year, he dropped a big ton. And I think people are getting maybe a bit sucked into that. I mean, I don't know. I've probably drafted him. I think I've drafted him a couple of times, maybe once too early in a real draft. So I probably can know where they're coming from, Cam.
To add on a little bit to Steve there in regards to the kickouts. So I think it came out maybe a week or so ago that actually it's Perryman, Whitfield and Heater who have been training to do the kick out. So he's not going to be that guy.
Yeah, and that's what I would expect. And, you know, I just can't imagine that it's going to change anytime soon unless there's a raft of injuries. But I think what Doss said really makes a lot of sense in that salary cap hype. We see it sort of every year. He is a known name. He's been a sexy name for fantasy players over the last few years. So he is hot on everyone's lips. And you kind of get into that D2 range, and it's kind of, you're looking at those guys like Zach Tui and sort of guys like that who don't thrill you. So you sort of just grab someone who you know. And I think if defenders are going hot off the board early, people are going to be caught drafting a guy like Zach Williams. So and maybe he does have a great year, and you're right, and it all pays off. But I think things have to go right for him to return value on that 49 ADP.
So Cam, what's your next pick? Is it overvalued or undervalued?
So this one is, again, undervalued, and it is Mr. Nunes. Look, he's been around for a while, and he's been pretty consistent in regards to, let me go through some years, 81.8, 85.2, 88, 88, and then last year, 66.3. Ba-bow. But there's two things I really like about Nunes this year. Firstly, he's DPP again, which makes him very relevant. If we took, say, an average of 85, so 88, 88, 85.2 and 81, we'll take 85, and we look at last year's scores, that actually puts him roughly in the same bracket as a Jack Billings, right? So the 17th best AFL fantasy forward in the comp. The difference is that Billings is going at an ADP of 41, and Nunes is going at 207. Right, so that's absolute value if he can pull his score back up and be as consistent as he has in the past. I'm not suggesting that he's going to be, you know, a Jack Billings type of scorer, and Billings will outscore him this year, but if he's going at 85, that is maybe 100 ADP places undervalued.
I doubt,
which is
I just doubt he can get to 85, though. What do you realistically think he can get to? You think he will get to 85?
Yeah, I'm kind of comfortable that he'll get to 85.
You ready to put another carton on the line here, Cam? Because I want to get in on some. I want to get in on the carton robbery that's been happening with you this pre-season, mate.
I'm going to get two cartons and I'm going to ship off a sixer of Pinot probably, but you know, two for one's not too bad. I just think he's incredibly consistent, with the exception of last year. He played 22 games for the last 5 years. Like, he's durable. He's I reckon he can go 85. Jono?
I agree with the fact that he can go 85. The thing that stuck him last year was all role dependent. He just was nowhere near the ball. He was stuck on the outside wing. The ball was just kicked over his head. And like, we've seen him play in the guts. We've seen him play off half back and a little bit forward. So he's in the game. So it all depends on what his role will be this year. I mean, the only thing that's got me interested in him is that forward status this year. So what did you say his ADP was? 209. That's your
207.
That's your lottery ticket pick right there. So pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think this is the interesting thing. Like some of the picks that we've seen so far, is they're really guys who are so far down your board, it's not actually going to cost you anything. To me, it's I don't know. If you like him, you like him, and it doesn't cost you anything to throw him back because you're throwing a low equity pick at him. But I hate Nunes. I reckon it's a really ordinary pick, yeah, to be honest. I think he's one of those guys who's probably a great teammate, probably plays his role to the best he can, probably the coaches love him, I don't know. But he's not a star. He's the sort of guy who gets that job and he'll do it. And he, you know what I mean? Like, they've got so many good users off half back. I don't think that's Nunes anymore.
Do you reckon, though, so 207 is quite late?
No, it's super late, but that's my point. I could pick out 50 blokes who are going in, you know, the 200 to 250, you know, 300 range, and yes, they might be good value because I like them and I see something in them, or they've done it before or whatever, but they're just, you know, they cost you, it's, like, to me, that doesn't take much to put it on the line and say, yes, this guy's undervalued. Like who are they better than? Like, I know we've mentioned some names, but I don't know. I can't get fired up about Jack Nunes.
All right, Jono, do you want to...
There's a reason he's got defensive forward status.
All right, well, Jono, you're going to fire us up with your next pick.
Yeah, so my next pick is an overvalued pick, and that is Sean Higgins from North Melbourne. This is a bloke who, all his years in football, finally cracked the ton average in Supercoach, finished off with 103 in 2018, never gone above 94, 95 before, and currently he's sitting at an ADP of 83. Now, that is just way too high for me for Sean Higgins, especially when you've got guys like Jager O'Meara, Tim Taranto, Jack Redden, all in that same sort of bracket. Now, this is a guy he's 31 this year in 2019, had a career year. North Melbourne had a massive influx of midfielders. You've got Aaron Hall, Pollock, Dom Tyson. I'm just not sure how they're going to structure up. I mean, we had a closed intra-club match or practice match with Geelong, so we don't know what the hell North Melbourne are doing. So I'm just sliding him down my board. You used to be able to pick him up as that M6, M7. He'd hit you the 95 average for the year, give you a couple of tons, but there's no way I'd want him as that M4, M5 this year at all. It just scares the hell out of me if you're going that early on him.
Mate, but he was the Gatorade game changer in the AFLX, though.
Did he actually play? I didn't even notice him out there.
I'm pretty sure he was playing. Has anyone got any takes on Sean Higgins, or are we pretty happy with that?
I think it's a really fair spot, to be honest. Like, if you were drafting, like, where did he finish by average? Like, what M? You know what I mean? Like, he's going in the ninth or tenth round, like, for a guy who averaged over 100 last year. That's pretty fair, I would have thought.
But I don't see him backing it up again, that's the thing.
No, I don't either, but I don't think it's unfair to have him in that bracket.
Oh, I think it is. Especially, I think Red and Taranto and O'Meara can go better than him this year.
Yeah, you can say that, but that doesn't mean he's terrible value at that point.
Well, I think he is. I think he's better at the M6 onwards.
But you might be picking him up as your M6 at that point of the draft. Like, I just don't. I just think it's a pretty. You know, I don't think it. I would have expected him to actually be higher. I'll put it that way.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have him high, but I think it's a really fair spot. I'm surprised you think that. Like, you know, he finished like this. He was M21, and he's going in the 10th round or 9th round or whatever.
Yeah,
like that's really fair. I think people have dropped him.
Oh, I thought he would have dropped him further, to be honest.
I don't know, man. I think that's pretty rough ranking. That's pretty rough call, man. No,
I'm not hot on Higgins this year.
Well, you asked for the fire, and Jono provided some fire, mate. That's what he does. I've got some more fire.
It's unfair that he's going in the same range as Redden.
I could say that one, but I think Taranto and O'Meara should be higher than both of them, to be honest.
Well, O'Meara's missed fucking tons of footy. Taranto's never done it. Like, I can understand why that would happen.
And you got a bloke who's 31 and had a career year.
Man, yeah. What's his name? What's his name's older? You know, Westhoff's older, so maybe he's just getting better. He's just warm. I'm with you. I have all the other guys ranked in front of him, so I'm with you on that. Just saying, I think that range is really fair for a guy who finished as a fucking M2 last year.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, where we spend the only show that spends 5 minutes talking about Sean Higgins. All right, I'll get on to my next pick, and it's an overvalued pick. Dylan Scheel at 95 ADP for AFL Fantasy here. So 97.9 is his best average back in 2016. Only averaged the 89 last year. He doesn't tackle or mark. He's a gun player, but always gets tagged because he's such a good user of the footy. I think the new uniform factor is making people go a bit early on Dylan Scheel here. So there's people below him that I'd personally prefer. These are just a few names. So he's going at 95. This is just for fantasy, AFL fantasy here. Callum Ward's at 96. I prefer him. Tom Phillips, that's arguable, but I'd still prefer him at 100. Tom Rockliffe, he's done it way more than Dylan Scheel. He's bouncing back. I'd still take him, 103. Fiorini, 108. Ed Langdon, 134, right? Langdon had 10 tons last year, Scheel only 6. I don't think him moving to Essendon is going to make him suddenly fantasy relevant. If not, there's possibly more people that are going to be taking the points off him. So I think 95 is early for Dylan Scheel. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I would agree. It's probably early by about 2 or 3 rounds. I think you might be right with the, you know, new uniform and all that sort of thing. I will say that he can get a time on ground bump. He was generally pretty limited for time on ground at GWS, so that could improve at Essendon.
I always thought that was the way he played, though. Sort of like the Jack Stephen or something, where he comes in for bursts and he's really explosive, and you wouldn't want him out there longer to, you know, I think like hamstrings and stuff would be a real factor if he was to stay out for long periods of time.
And I'll say this, like, who are the dominant clearance players at Essendon?
Yeah.
And who's the dominant clearance player at GWS? You could name Ward, Canelio, Kelly, they can all win it. Like, I know Kelly played outside last year, but all these guys are super, super clearance players. Essendon, you know what I mean? Like, they need someone like Dylan Scheel, I think.
So he's going to be the one even more so locked down for a tag then?
He could, yeah. No, I agree. I think he's an early... I wouldn't have him in that range. He's never really done it. He's got a great name. He looks great on the field when he's running through the middle and all that sort of thing. So, again, it's around pick 10. I don't... You know, there's guys after him I prefer, but I can understand why people would see upside.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Who have you got for us, Steve?
So I'll go with another undervalued midfielder, someone who's going after Dylan Scheel. To be honest, at pick 111 in your AFL fantasy ADPs, and that's Luke Shuey, last year's Norm Smith medalist. So had a pretty bad year last year in terms of average, but he had 2 injury-affected games, including a 9. It's really taken him off the radar. But the 2 seasons prior to 2018, he's averaged 99, Dream Team, 4 straight years before last year of 20-plus games. So generally pretty durable. He had an injury last year, obviously, with the 9. So he's coming in at M46 off the board. And it's not miles away from where we have him. Honestly, a lot of the midfielders who are going sort of in the 2 rounds before him, like who was it you mentioned? Scheel. Like, I've got Scheel behind him, but I think I can understand why people would draft him in, like, them in front of him, but it's really the speculative DPPs who are in front of him in ADP, guys like Mitch Wallace, that sort of ilk of player who you don't know what they're going to do. I think we know what Luke Shuey is going to do. He's going to be in the midfield. He's capable of the highest scores in the game. Super player. And I just think he's really late to be going at 111. That's the 12th round for someone who's been pretty consistent. Yes, they're not he's not going to be a top 10 midfielder. Like, I'm not, don't get me wrong there, but he is certainly more than capable of being an M5.
Yeah.
Just one of those unsexy picks that slips down your draft board, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's probably not someone you love, but I think he's really super value in that range. Like, look, like Ed Curnow's going 20 picks in front of him.
Yeesh.
That's insane. Where's the Norm Smith hype as well? That's kind of actually pretty surprising.
Well, I mean, he's coming in at 87, so he's really basically 10 points under what he just produces each year. So, you know, I don't think he's a bad pick by any stretch. He's going off the board at number 19 Supercoach, and I think that's pretty fair. He's a little bit better Supercoach player.
Yeah. All right, Cam, what's your last pick for us here?
So my last one is an overvalue. I just wanted to display some range here and that I can be anti-Geelong. But Tom Stewart, he's going at the moment for Dream Team at 71 ADP. And I just want to get something out of the way really quick in that, yeah, he's going to take some kick-ins, but he's not going to take the majority of the kick-ins. It'll be Zach Tui when he's back, which we've talked about previously. But I want to, you know, I think what really drives this one home is overvalue is the names that are going after him, which I probably would draft well before Tom Stewart or before. So Brody Smith this year, absolutely. Bailey Williams, your boy. Christian Salem, Jimmy Webster, Jaden Short, Connor Blakely, even with the injury, Callum Mills, Basher Hooley, and even a Wayne Miller, I would probably take before him. So I think the right place for him to go is around the Lockie Weller 115 ADP range. So he's potentially 44 picks ADP overpriced. I think 79, which I think he did last year, is maybe 3 or 4 points below where he'll go this year. But that still doesn't put him in the same range as any of those picks.
Yeah, it's a fair point too. It's probably a lot. It's actually a bit earlier. Yeah, a lot earlier than I probably would have thought for him. And I have mentioned before that the kickouts was almost a sort of 50-50 split between him and Tui. And, you know, that could go either way. Like you say, they might definitely look more towards just having Tui do it because Stewart's better at the other factors of the game. But yeah, some of those names after, you'd be tentative to draft Stewart ahead of those guys. Jono, what's your last pick for us here?
My last pick is an undervalued player, and that is Tex Walker from the Adelaide Crows. As we saw in 2018, the Crows absolutely shit the bed, and all players in terms of fantasy dropped in value. He's got a current ADP of 189, so he's right at the back end of the draft. And this is a guy who's averaged around 80 to 85 throughout his whole career, so that's your F3, F4, but it's what his scoring capability has got. Last year, in 2017, he had 5 tons and 2 of those over 140 or 140 plus, so it just shows you what his scoring potential actually is in Supercoach. If you go back to 2016, he had 7 tons as well. I think also this new hands in the back rule, it's going to be really hard to interpret, so we might see some of these key forwards get more free kicks because the umpire doesn't know if it was hands in the back, chopping the arms, this, that, or the other. So there is a potential more a bump where you get the free kick. He might get more shots on goals, and then his scoring does go up. So I'm really liking Tex Walker this year as a very undervalued pick. I mean, some of the guys where you've been drafting around him on the mock site, you've got DeBoer and Collier. These guys, DeBoer a little bit of interest, but Travis Collier, no thank you very much. So Tex Walker for me is a standout undervalue for me.
As long as he's taking marks and kicking snags rather than commentating, I have no dramas with
don't,
it.
Don't start. He can't even string two words, let alone a sentence together.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Okay, my final pick as well. Or did anyone, has anyone got any problems with having Tex in there? Pretty good value there.
Tex is one of my favourite values for the year, and I actually think it's probably a really good salary cap pick as well.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
For Supercoach.
Yeah. All right, so my final one here, boys, and I don't know if this won't be controversial or anything. It's a late pick. I could have done one other one, but I won't do that one. I will do this one instead. And it is at 240 ADP here, and it is Jack Bowes. Jack Bowes, and this is, I think Gold Coast will be a little bit better this year. They came out and smashed Brizzy. Now, I think he'll play a lot in the middle. He's got a bit of fantasy genes, dominated as a junior, 94 in his last three games. He's had a couple of pre-seasons with weird stuff that went on. And I think with the pure mid tag, he's actually being ignored as a potential very late pickup. And 240 ADP, I think that's going to be really, really good value for you to pick him up there. I think he'll be a very solid last mid spot there.
Yeah, probably don't love it. I'm much more of a fan in Ultimate Footy, where he's got the defender tag as well as the midfield. But I like him as a player. I just find it hard to believe that he's actually going to be rosterable as a midfielder at Gold Coast. Like, if we look at some of their established midfielders from last season, even a guy like David Swallow is kind of hard to have on the field. Unless you're sort of filling in the bye weeks and injuries, and, you know, they're good to have. I just think it's probably a bit, I don't know, it's hard to project, I'll put it that way.
I think,
talk about someone like Jack Martin, who you said cut it up. Like, Jack Martin in a good team, it'd be fucking unbelievable. Like, you'd be on the back page of the Herald Sun every week. Like,
yeah. I think there's something about the Suns this year that they're going incredibly, they're not going to be good, okay? But I think they're going to actually be a little bit more fantasy relevant this year. And I think they're going to have a few players that are going to get possessions. And I think guys like Jack Bowes could potentially do the third year breakout when we think he's got no chance. I think maybe he might have a little bit of a chance of pushing a decent score this year.
Well, we saw this early hype with the Suns last year, where they won every JL team match with Talk of the Town, and look what happened. They shit the bed again and with no fantasy value whatsoever. So only Jared Witts is the only Gold Coast Sun who I've got any real interest in, to be honest.
I'd say this. We were sort of talking before the show about how the new rules are going to affect the game, and there might be a desire for good disposal efficiency. If I recall my stats from last year, because I was blown away with it, the 17th best side was closer by disposal efficiency to the first than Gold Coast was to the 17th. So I'm just a little bit, I think that's right. Someone can double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah. And Jack Bowes, everyone's a bit of a fan, but I think it's right. You know, like, 220 picks will fall in a 10-person 5-1-7-5-4, so he won't get drafted, and I think that's probably right. And then as you go deeper and deeper, he sits in around with people like, I don't know, who am I looking at here?
Matt Kennedy?
Laurie Atkins. You know, like, people who are probably going to score 82 and every now and then get you 83. Ripper.
Yeah, I think he's a bit better than that. I'm making that my little call of the preseason. Anyway, Steve, take us away with your last pick here.
Yeah, so my last pick is Collingwood forward Jordan Dugowie. And this is, there was actually a number of players I could have done who were overvalued or undervalued, but I really just couldn't get past Dugowie. He just doesn't score. I wrote about him in the Collingwood article for the website. And his AD, and keep in mind, again, I'm probably a little bit more on board with choosing him in Supercoach, where he's actually going later. He's going with an ADP of 75 in Supercoach. But in Dream Team, his ADP is 71, and that is just disgusting to me. I cannot get behind that at all. He's the 17th forward off the board. This is a guy who averaged 82, and people are choosing him in the 8th round. This is a guy who kicks 6 goals in a match and didn't ton up. Right? How the fuck do you do that?
Goals right? don't matter.
Well, goals don't matter, Jono. That's right. And we've been saying it for years. Last year, there was four games where he kicked four goals. These were his scores where he kicked four goals. Keep in mind, that's a good return. 73, 119, fantastic. 79 and 66. 66 from four goals? Are you kidding me? This guy needs midfield time to score. Last year, out of his 21 games, that includes the finals, because we all know Jordan De Goey, he doesn't play many home and away games. He's always rubbed out or injured or some bullshit. Okay? Five games with over 20 touches out of 21. Collingwood have added Dane Beams. There is no... like, he'll get 5 minutes here and there, but he is parked in that forward 50, people. And we've just seen, even when he kicks a bag, six goals, no ton. Like, I don't even get it. Only seven scores over 81. You can't roster him in the other four, you know, the other 10 games he played. Can't roster him.
Do people still think somehow he's going to play in the middle or something? Like, I don't understand. I saw actually, I think it was Jonathan Brown or something was giving some super coach advice on some video or something. And he was like, mate, watch out for Jordan De Goey. He's moving into the midfield. I was like, what? Who's he going to take out of the...
But we heard the same thing last year. It was like, you know, they're going, oh, you know, Charlie Kernow's a great pick. You know, he's fucking generational talent. And I'm like, yeah, but who's kicking him the ball? And then like round one, he had like 140 or something. And then it was just fucking straight off a cliff from there. Like, you know, the Supercoach hashtag experts out there like, Jono Brown, you know, getting it done.
I love, like, with Jordan De Goey as well, like, I'm looking at the rankings now after him, right? As far as forwards go, you've got Mitch Robinson, Travis Boak, Toby Green, Michael Walters, Zeeble.
There's a forward line right there. There's Wallace. Five picks. There's five. There's...
You know, like, and so you go actually right down to ADP 122, where good-looking Tom Lynch is. Oh. And I reckon after that is probably where you'd pick up Jordan De Goey, or maybe even further, Kyle Langford, 130. Like, well, there's a lot of people that you draft before him.
Yeah, in the article I wrote that I'd be picking up in the teen rounds, that's where I want to start looking at him. Because, look, he is a match winner on his day, and yes, he can get better with natural development. Maybe Collingwood are the best team in the league this year, and they're spearing it down his throat, but there's no possessions, there's no tackles. You're relying on a heavy volume of goals and marks.
Yeah.
Great.
Was there any special mentions for guys that just missed out on your ADP, or are we good to move on? Or Cam?
Yeah, just quickly, Jacob Hopper.
Yeah,
I think he's incredibly undervalued at the moment. Just let me pull him up here. But he's sitting from memory well in, like, just before the 200s. And it blows my mind that he can be so far down on this list. He's 162, sorry, and he's sitting behind the likes of Isaac Smith, who is just so boring, and also, you know, from a fantasy perspective, not great. Trent Cotchin, Ben Cunnington, who else we got? Jared Polek. Like, I'd take Hopper for a speculative ahead of any of them. Like, if you're going to draft someone who's going to get you 90 and you're okay with accepting 90, I don't know. I think that's... I'd prefer to take someone who's potentially going to go 80 or 110.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. You know, whatever. I think Justin Westhoff, chronically overdrafted. Jack Gunston was very close to making my list. His ADP's 51. I think, you know, without Tom Mitchell's midfield minutes, I think he might struggle to return value on that 51. So, yeah, there's a few guys. I think Rory Sloane's pretty good value at 57.
Well, Steph Martin's 27 in Supercoach. Going ahead of Goldie now. Doesn't surprise me, but...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't mind. If people want to draft their rucks, that's going to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting one.
What do we think of, I guess, speaking of rucks, a Gorn at around the 12, 13. He's at 13, I think, Mark, in fantasy, not a super coach. But what is that? What are we thinking of the Gorn situation? Just a real quick take, because we've talked about it a few times. But going at 12.
Be Brody Grundy, Mark, too. We saw it with Cox and Grundy. That'll sort itself out pretty quickly, you would imagine. But that's my take.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Jono, how are we going for our 140 before round one on the iTunes reviews?
Well, if you listened to me and went realistically 120, we're currently sitting at 111, so very close to that 120 that we can realistically
obtain. That's a while away. Round one's a while away.
Round one of JLT we're going for?
No, because we defeated the JLT. We've gone for round one, haven't we? Surely. JLT's like next week.
Possibly then. We might get 140 for round one, but I doubt
There's
it.
There's no way. There's no way.
It's happening. We've got to defeat Steve.
We've had five in a week.
Bet on this, Doss. Do you want to have a bet on this, Doss?
Oh, it's getting real.
He's looking for some slab action, the old Doss.
Let's get in on a slab because I've already got one from Cam at the end of the year lined up with my Jack Nunes. Was that agreed upon? Jack Nunes 85. Yeah, right. No,
just kind of trailed up there.
I have faith in the fans.
We'll make this interesting. No, I don't want to put a slab on. I want to put something interesting on this because I'm coming over to Adelaide in May, so I'll catch up with you. We'll put something interesting on this. We'll discuss it next week. You come up with something, and we'll you know.
All right.
Dinner, okay. A dinner somewhere, maybe in Adelaide. Someone shouts for dinner.
All right, sounds good. Get to 140. We've got a few. That's good to know. All right, should we get into questions, or have you got one to read out for us, John?
No, we do have a couple this week. From Henry Katz. He says, "Keep up the good work, boys. Always good discussion and great at answering the listener questions." So thank you very much, Henry Katz. And
great name.
Second names. Dilcat 91. He says, "Loves this show. Always coming up with the good info and analysis, and the banter is generally pretty good as well." So thanks, Dilcat 91. So keep the ratings coming through. Do drop us a review on the iTunes, the Stitcher, the SoundCloud, Podbean, and Spotify, and just about every other platform you can think of. We're probably on it. So keep them coming, and don't get to 140 because I want to see DOS pay up.
Oh, get out of here. He's denying his own reviews to help the pod just to spite me.
Perfect.
This is outrageous.
Yes, that's the sort of person I am.
All right. Well, we're going to get to some listener questions. You could have segued very nicely with getting that one out of the way last, but no segues for Jono. That's why I'm hosting. So we've got the Draft Doctors at the Draft Doctors on Twitter. Check us out. These are some questions coming through. Phil B. In what year will supercomputers and AI provide better draft fantasy advice than the experts, therefore making you and the podcast redundant, Jono?
See, this is the thing about computers. They're just all processed data, AI, this sort of crap. They have no gut feel about them whatsoever, so they can never be able to predict correctly. So, never. I will say never.
See, I actually saw something the other week where they've produced an AI that is so good at writing stories that you can feed it, like, so say you feed it J.R. Tolkien novels as the corpus of information, it then writes like J.R. Tolkien and can write a whole story.
Yeah,
it's like amazing.
It's in America, I've seen it. They feed it the stats from, say, a basketball game, and then it writes a story based on the stats and how players performed it.
Gee whiz.
Crazy.
So you give us 2 years then. That's about right. Next.
I would actually say that all podcasts and all professional sport is actually redundant already. So don't worry about it.
All right. Well, I'm going to say this question and then I'll give us a few of the questions to maybe think of them because he wants a big amount out of us here. Hunter Struck asks, who are your three hidden draft smokies in each line? So maybe we'll come back to that one. And
didn't we have this question last week?
Maybe we did, but maybe we've got some new smokies coming through.
I thought we did. I thought we had this question last week.
I think we did. Maybe we did. Got any more for us? We'll come back to that one. All right.
Tex Walker.
Says,
Jack Bowes.
All right. The Wiz asks, who's your number two mid behind McRae and why? So this is probably going to go off your thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check out the rankings there, but do you guys want to explain who your number two is and why you've got them there?
Okay, remember who my
number
two is?
I'll jump in. I've got Josh Kelly in AFL Fantasy as my number two. I actually had McRae as my number two in Supercoach, so it would have been him. But my number two in AFL fantasy is Josh Kelly. Perfect mix of ceiling and high floor with all the upside in the world. In a good team who's going to win a lot of games. Yes, there are maybe durability concerns because he missed games last year. I don't really worry about that sort of thing too much when it comes to a player like Josh Kelly. We've seen him beat the tag. I think he will only get better as he comes into his prime.
Yeah, I think I've got Kelly in both formats.
I have Cogs. And to be honest, it's just to spite everyone else that put Kelly.
All right, and I have Paddy Cripps, so he's my number two, and I don't, I've been big on that throughout the preseason. The reason being, he's just the big dog in there. He's going to kill it. He averaged a huge amount for the whole. It wasn't just the last few games of the year last year. He came in firing, and this is, I reckon, this is one of the only big preseasons that he's actually managed to have. And of course, he lit up the AFLX the other day there, Jono.
And speaking of real football, he actually did have an injury-affected game last year. So I think it was at 40s. So it would have inflated his average even more. So
yeah. So actually, I hope my numbers are right because I did this a little while ago. But if they are correct, he averaged 113.2 from rounds 11 to 23. So that was pretty much, I'm going to say, in the top four for the guys that we're ranking now. And the other guys that we're talking about is Jack McRae, who averaged 115 during this time. Zach Merritt, who apparently averaged 114 during this time, who injury interrupted preseason, so moved him down a little bit. And the other guy is Matt Crouch. Elliot Yeo, 113.2, sorry. So those are the guys sort of in that company. And I just don't think there's... Yeah, anyway, Cripps goes down. Plus, the durability was there last year ahead of Kelly. That's why I had him at two. All right, this question comes from Jake. Seb Ross, it's a double-part question. We'll do the first bit first. Seb Ross versus Angus Brayshaw, he asks.
Ooh. Both.
Seb.
Gus, give me Gus.
I'd have to check my ranking.
Yeah. I'm going to say ranking. My ranking. Just give us your take.
I think I got Gus actually funny. Just ahead of Ross.
It's funny because I was looking at Ross before for one of the other questions because I think there's for some reason part of me thinks he's just going to have a banger, like yeah. Just have a full massive year. I've got him back to back actually. I've got Brayshaw at 12 and Ross at 13. That's probably going to switch. I'll be honest. Yeah, I'd probably say Ross.
He was the first name that I brought up for my ADP, but I couldn't do it because I just looked at the numbers and I was like. It could be there, it could not be. Like, I'm high, I think, like you are. The second part of the question, Taylor Adams versus Tim Taranto.
Tarantino.
Going Taranto there, Jono.
Yep.
I've got Adams, but it's only by 5 spots, and it's not super confident, but I've got Adams.
Yeah, I'd have Adams, for sure. Okay, Elliot. Have you done rookie rankings yet? A top 20 rookies list would be awesome for those in Dynasty/Keeper leagues. Have we got anything on the way in that sort of regard?
No.
Alrighty.
Well, Statesman's out. I'm not doing that shit.
I mean, the closest we got with the Keeper ranks.
23 under 23, ago. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll get Statesman to maybe just do a little write-up or something like that.
Statesman's very busy at the moment, people. Just give the great man a little bit of
breathing room.
Definitely. Jason asks, McRae is the third highest averaging player in 2019. Which two players average more? So he's going into the future. He's saying McRae is the third highest averaging player. Who are the two guys that could be above him? I guess it's a bit like that speculation we had a couple of weeks ago. Who can push the big numbers this year if they're going to defeat McRae or if McRae maybe has a little bit of a downer?
Cripps and Kelly or Cripps and Fife, they'd be my two.
Yeah, I had Cripps, Grundy and Danger really is my three. I think Ross is there. I don't think Kelly's going to do it. I think he'll get enough tags that he'll, you know, be scoring 90s in those games, whereas I think Ross is generally going to avoid it.
Fair enough.
Like, I think he's a very polarizing guy.
Did you say Cripps there? And you said yep. And you didn't say Kelly?
Yeah.
But you've got Kelly ahead in the rankings?
Yes.
This is hypothetical of what happens.
No, but this is hypothetical, Doss. You got Doss, this is where we're talking. Like, and look, I don't think the Crips is a bad pick, but this is where range comes into things. Like I said, Seb Ross just then, and I've got Ross at what 12-13.
Okay. Well,
players can have a big range.
Yeah,
I think your point on Crips is right because he has such a control over that midfield. Like, he's the only one getting all the ball. He's the only one getting all the contested ball, all the clearances. He's playing nowhere but there. But on the flip side, he's playing in a shit team. So there's less transition ball. They're not going to be winning as many games. So I like it when a player has very little competition, but I also prefer it when they're in a semi-good team. Like Tom Mitchell last year, there's really no competition for him, but he's still in a good team. So
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, those players are rare. Those situations don't always happen. Like, we might, like, people need to, I think, be understanding. We might not see a 120 averaging player this year. Or maybe it's Jake Lloyd. Maybe the kicking thing does affect things so much that it pushes defenders into a new range.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting.
I'm going to say Dangerfield and a Matt Crouch for two past him.
All right, well, Chris asks, who are the players in teams that will avoid the tag completely and still score well? He asks, Redden, Crouch, Devon, maybe? Have we got any names there?
Yeah, they're all ones. I mean, there's heaps. I mean, Cade Simpson, Isaac Heaney, Jake Lloyd, Steve Canelio, Callan Ward, Lockie Hunter, Jack Steele. I mean, we sort of saw Yeo get tagged. Liam Shields. Mitch Duncan, Dyson Heppel, Taylor Adams.
Yeah, there's a few.
Who does get a tag at Collingwood?
Well, I think it's going to rotate. Like, you look at some of these teams.
Maybe Grundy. Sidey or Beams?
Well, Sidey will get it. Beams will get it. Pendles will get it. Treloar will get it. They all won't get it at once. But it's like, you look at West Coast, like, Gaff will get it sometimes. Yo will get it sometimes. Shuey will get it sometimes. They'll all, you know, there's enough to go around.
All right, Aaron, the last question here. 10-man league, DT scoring, captains on. Sitting at pick 8, which midfielder do you take out of Oliver versus Cripps versus Matt Crouch? He says Kelly Merritt already gone. Trying to predict who of these guys will land in the 115-plus tier at year's end.
Cripper for me.
Yeah, I'd take Cripps.
Matt Crouch.
All right, so did we have any name? Do we have any more names for those three hidden draft smokies, or we sort of answered that a bit last week, or some of the names today with the value probably indicate some of our choices there?
I think we definitely did speak about this last year. A guy who I actually, and hear me out on this, Brett Delidio, right? He's going to cost you nothing in your draft. But he put out a couple of massive scores last year. And he's coming in fit, by all accounts, which, you know, fingers crossed you get 5 weeks out of him. But he is, like, there's a wing spot at the GWS, and he put together some bangers. I'm just saying, he's costing you nothing.
Yeah, it's a nice one. I think Brad Hill for me now as well. I've probably mentioned him already, but I think he's now providing you pretty... well, I suppose Smokey's more like really high upside, isn't it? Not. I think he can get back to potentially to his 90. I think the new game style really suits him. He had a dank year last year, but he pushed 90 the year before, and that's, he's the same sort of player as like your Lockie Whitfield that just... Well, not that good, but like the Lockie Whitfield, Tom Scully guys that run and can now sort of accumulate your 90 to 100 without having to get the contested pill. So I think he's one to watch as well late in your drafts.
I even like Jack Higgins as well. He's one to look at. He's going very deep on the mock side at the moment too, especially if you're super coach.
All right, quickly to finish off, just a bit of a general discussion about drafts. A lot of drafts probably happening in the next few weeks, but I wanted to talk to you, Steve, because I've already had a draft or two, and you sort of talked about it last week when in the episode that didn't go to air was about the best time you think to draft, and yeah, I want you to sort of share that.
Yeah, so we've always, John O'Neill told you, in our home league, we try to pick the weekend between the JLT and the regular season kicking off. I think it's the best time. You've got the most information you can possibly get before the real stuff starts. You know about injuries to the best of your ability. So I think that's the perfect weekend to draft. Obviously, if you're doing a live draft and people have conflicting schedules, it's not always possible. So I would just say as late as possible before the season started.
Yeah. Is it all your drafts sort of sitting in that region this year for your single seasons?
16th
is that Saturday. So anything from March 15th, 16th, 17th to the Sunday that weekend before the round one kicks off.
We'll give a shout out to the Shiva, the Dream Team Shiva, if anyone's interested in playing that. I think that's happening on the 10th of March, same day as the Traders live show, which I'm sure we're all at.
And I actually think they're doing a draft party at a place in Richmond as well, so there's likely going to be a few boozed up fantasy fans going from the Dream Team Shiva to the DT Talk boys.
Free drinks! Woo!
I hope Ultimate Footy goes a bit better for them this year than last year.
Let's hope we can get that beer sponsorship, Cam, by the time heading over there in a couple of weeks.
You're the mayor of South Australia. Please get Pirate Life on board.
Oh, wait, what happened in the basketball? Did you score 8?
Yeah, I posted it out on the socials, mate. Just dominated 15, probably 10-10 triple-double out there. So, yeah, killed it, you know. undefeated for the season, and we head into the finals as hot favourites. So, probably likely to choke then. Anyway, so, Steve, I want to ask all you guys, actually. I've got a bit of a sort of dilemma here coming in as my, you know, first year as a draft doctor and sort of got a lot of leagues lining up. What do you guys roll with in terms of for your single season and your keeper leagues? How many is enough? I know it's sort of a personal thing, but what do you reckon is a good number to stay by to not get too spread out, if you will?
Three or four.
Three. Don't go too much.
Mm. Dossie's a man in high demand at the moment for his draft leagues. All right, so
you got to say no, Dossie. You got to know when to say when, mate. You got to, you know, treat a mean keeper.
Got to hold out, mate. Yeah, make him want you more next year, mate.
All right, so our final thing this evening is ideas for draft orders. So people really like these and want some fun suggestions. So if we just go around and give some ideas for draft orders, some people, you know, rock up to the draft on the day potentially, or, you know, have a week before where they decide the draft order. Have we got some ideas? We'll just go around. Maybe Jono, you kick us off here.
Well, our home league always uses the WWE Royal Rumble, which is around the Australia Day weekend. So put the wrestlers in the hat, pick the name out, get everyone around to have a few beers and cheer your wrestler on. And when they're eliminated, that's your pick. So 10 to 1, easy, nice and done over in a couple of hours. So a bit of fun as well. Or yeah, some awesome. People like to use the Australian Open or something like that as well.
Yeah, you can use a bunch of events. That's a pretty cool way, like horse racing, that sort of thing. Steve, what's your one?
Oh, well, obviously playing in Jono's home league, but I would suggest that the best method is to start 10 Twitter accounts for your league. Everyone starts a Twitter account. You go online and you try to get blocked by the Statesman, right? Just get on there and abuse the hell out of him. And one by one, you'll get blocked, and that is the pick you get. So whoever gets blocked first, you get to pick your spot. What do you think? Do you just get pick one, or should you be picking your spot? I think you should be picking your spot personally.
Picking your spot.
Yeah. So if you get blocked by the Statesman first, you pick your spot. Everyone has to get blocked by him.
I want a draft league out there.
Mark Robinson's too easy, is it?
We have to have a draft league out there that does this and let us know the draft order. All right, Cam, what is yours?
Oh, I just actually don't want to distract from people absorbing that information and actually creating the 10 Twitter accounts and getting on Statesman's case. Like, I'm not going to say anything. I reckon that's the best way for 2019 to decide your draft order.
That is at Statesman33. At Statesman33.
Hey, I've got a really good one as well. So you chuck a review on the Draft Doctors on iTunes, and the first one to get it up there, that is your draft order as well. We got to get that 140 before round one. So my actual one, I like chucking in a few songs into the Spotify playlist, chuck it on shuffle. That way, that's the one you can do just on the day of the draft in case you're just running a bit late. Chuck it on shuffle, pick your favorite song, and as your banger comes out, you either go, you know, 1 through 12, 12 through to 1, whatever. Sounds pretty good. All right, guys, I think that wraps up the episode. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.